Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. We're joined in the studio today by a very interesting guest. He is Tyler Ellis, and Bob will be introducing Tyler in just a moment after a quick note that although our phone lines are always open for you, our listeners, we most likely will not be taking direct on-the-air calls today. But still, you have the opportunity to call 844-322-2742. Anytime, day or night, and pose your question. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, it's a special edition of Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, you know, Bob, oftentimes we hear today that we as Christians need to engage the culture, and you know, I think most people hear that and scratch their heads and wonder, how in the world do I do that? Well, it's as simple as having a conversation with somebody and asking some questions. And our guest today is an expert in asking questions and just engaging people in conversations, people from all walks of life, people from every religious background, from non-religious backgrounds, and just asking questions that open them up in such a way you can talk about the gospel. You can talk about Jesus. So we are so excited to have Tyler Ellis with us. Tyler, welcome to Basic Gospel. Welcome to Basic Gospel Nation, my friend.
Thank you, Bob and Bob. Appreciate the opportunity.
We keep it simple for you. Just simple name so you never forget. Well, Tyler, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell our audience a little bit about you and how you got involved in the work you're doing now.
Sure. So I was a college minister almost 15 years, worked a lot with international students in particular, and over the last year or so, I become part of a nonprofit here in the Fort Worth area called Let's Start Talking. It's celebrated its 40th year this year.
Fantastic.
And they specialize in training churches to share about Jesus by reaching out to foreigners in our land and overseas, reading the Bible with them to help them improve their English. So it's really wonderful because it gets people who don't typically share their faith reading about Jesus, but it's also meeting a very important basic need that people all over the world have, is to improve their English, which can change their lives in a lot of ways. So my particular position on staff is the associate director of FriendSpeak, and that really focuses on using that approach here in the United States, reaching international students in our universities, reaching refugees in our country.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah,
that is just a great outreach.
Yes, and if anyone listening wants to learn about it, lst.org.
lst.org, and we certainly encourage our listeners to take a look at that. And you know, we sometimes don't think about all the different ways that God can use us. And I think when we hear somebody like you describe what you do, people think like, wow, that would be interesting to be involved in. So certainly take a look at that website. But Tyler, you've probably made your biggest splash with a TED Talk that you did back in October, I think, of last year.
That's right.
At a college here in the Texas area. How did that opportunity come about for you? And what was the topic of your talk for that particular TED Talk?
Well, you know, most people are familiar with TED and the red carpet.
Yes.
That little circle. And it's very respected. There's 23 million subscribers on their YouTube channel. They're translated into tons of languages all around the world. And so it's a great opportunity for someone to, their mantra is ideas worth spreading. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is religion, and especially Christianity and Jesus, are among the most, the least talked about topics.
Right. You don't hear religious topics being discussed much from the TED stages.
Yeah,
but you had this opportunity.
Sure. When you think about reaching culture, I mean, what a great opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
So some people may not know TED is an annual event that most speakers are invited to. And then there's what's called TEDx, and the X means independent. And those are independent events under TED's umbrella on their website and YouTube channel. But those are, to be a speaker, you can actually apply And each event has its board of people who sift through those applications. You have to do essays and send in a short video promo.
Wow.
And sometimes there's auditions and interviews. And so I sent probably 40 applications out all around the world from Australia and Germany and Ireland to New York. And lo and behold, the one that invited me to speak was about 3 hours away in Marshall, Texas, at Wiley College.
Yeah. Well, excellent. That is fantastic. Well, at the heart and soul of your talk is some interviews that you did. So you chose to interview, I think, 50 different people.
That's right.
And you had conversations. I think you invited them for a coffee or something like that. And you just asked some questions. How did you think of that? What caused you to say, hey, I'm going to go interview 50 people and then use the information I discover from those conversations as a part of this TED Talk? How did all of that come about?
Well, I was at the University of Delaware when I worked there. And some of my students were sitting around talking about how, they haven't shared their faith before. And so I said, hey, get your phone out, scroll through your contacts, and tell me how many people are even on your phone who don't share the same beliefs and backgrounds than you do. Mm. And, they hardly came up with a name.
Wow.
So I said, well, we need to get out on campus. So we came up with this idea of doing a survey, walking up to people and asking them for a few minutes. And we had some success doing that, but it was awkward, just like if someone you don't know walked up to you and interrupted your day. It's just another way of doing door knocking, which no one wants to do.
Right.
And so we just, I came up with this idea of, well, what if I emailed people inviting them to do this? So I went to the school website where they list, 200-300 student organizations, and the president and vice president of each club, their names and emails were listed there. And so I just started emailing all the presidents of these clubs, and probably about 1 out of 10 said, yeah, I'd love to do that. So I was inviting them for coffee, my treat, 20 questions, 1 hour. And also I was going to draw their picture, because I'm an artist, and so that was just a little extra way to pique their curiosity and open the door. And so I ended up interviewing, like you said, 50 people, international students, even some professors from the school, a Muslim professor, a Mormon professor, atheists. And boy, it was what I call an unexpected adventure.
That's great. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Davis with Bob Christopher and our very special guest, Tyler Ellis, on today's broadcast. And if you'd like to visit Tyler's website, it is B as in boy, btylerellis.com. So we encourage you to take advantage of that and go and visit Tyler online. You know, friends, knowing Jesus is the most important experience in our lives. And our 5-message series, The Jesus You Can Know, will help you know him in an even more personal way. For instance, Jesus didn't come just to forgive our sins and get you into heaven. He did that, of course, but in the meantime, he offers you life, an abundant life. And at Basic Gospel, we want you to know and experience that abundant life. So we'll send you a copy of The Jesus You Can Know as our thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel in the month of March. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and be sure to request your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. That's basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, Bob, thanks. We are with our special guest today, Tyler Ellis. He is just a wonderful guy that knows how to engage people in conversation. And I hope you're really listening today and you'll get some ideas on how you can engage people in your sphere of influence. And it's fun. It's fun to talk with people and to ask questions. Christianity is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Christianity is interested in the souls of men. And one of the things that I've always said, if Christianity is interested in the souls of men, we ought to find out what's going on in the souls of men. And how do we do that? We engage them in conversation. So, Tyler, as you were saying before the break, you interviewed 50 different people. You took them out for coffee. You had 20 questions. You drew their picture. And that led to a lot of adventure, a lot of discovery. What did you discover What was the number one thing that kind of jumped out to you after kind of reviewing these interviews and the answers to these questions?
Yeah, so the TEDx event, my talk was entitled "Jesus is Not a Role Model." And that was really the premise that came from those unexpected discoveries I made in that 2-year span. And the way I arrived at that title was that, as diverse as the interviews were, there was many of those who had been Christian, growing up Christian, and were no longer identifying themselves as Christian. But I asked all of them the same questions. One of those questions was, on what basis do you believe God will or will not accept you into heaven? Now, again, that's not really a question people want to be asked on a street corner. But when you throw in a smile and coffee and artwork, you know, and they've already been prepped for what you're going to talk about. And they especially know that this is not a debate.
Right.
That you're just listening.
There's no right or wrong answers.
Yeah.
You just want to hear their thoughts.
That's right. So people were quick to open up instead of cringe at questions like that. And man, just over and over and over, week after week, people's answers to that specific question came back, could be summarized in the statement, our acceptance in heaven, if there is one, depends on our performance on earth. And Christians, to answer your question, what really surprised me, Bob, was that they weren't an exception to the rule on
right.
that thinking. Whether they currently are Christian or had been, they believed also. And, you know, and 50 people, that's a limited data set. And so I was so curious if this was a broader, if there were a broader study. And so I landed on a 2019 study conducted by the Barna Group.
Absolutely.
And they asked Christians in the United States, if you believe that, you know, getting to heaven, that depends on being a good person, living a good life, you know, you earn your place there. And surprisingly, 44% of the identifying Christians in the United States believed that statement, either somewhat or strongly agreed with that statement.
Good works is what gets
That's
you
right.
what gets you there.
That's right. So again, I was so perplexed by this. One of my other questions in those 20 was, what comes to mind when you think about Jesus? So these people, especially with the knowledge of Jesus, even if it was limited to their childhood, you know, they could tell me so much about Jesus, you know, where he was born and some of the names of his close friends and his parents' names and, you know, even some of the teachings and the famous parables that he was known for, how he died, what happened 3 days later. But when I asked those people who knew so much about him, on what basis would God accept you? They didn't even mention the name of Jesus at all.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It was just appealing to, hey, I'm either a good person or, I'm not so good.
Yeah.
So that forced me to really go back through. I had typed up the manuscripts of all 50 of those interviews, and I read all of them probably in one setting, looking for clues, trying to figure out this thing that so perplexed me. And slowly, that phrase, role model, jumped out at me, left and right. And this idea that Jesus came to show us how to get to heaven based on our merits, if we could just follow the example he came to set and obey the teachings he came to teach.
Then we're going to be okay.
That's right. He came to show us how to get there, where in reality, he came to be the way.
Right.
And our good works is not things we do to be saved, but because we're saved.
Absolutely.
It's a response of love and gratitude, not driven by fear and guilt.
It's a big difference. So here at Basic Gospel, we have a phrase, hear it, believe it, live it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we have a big problem on the hear it end. So you tell the story. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus was buried. On the third day, Jesus was raised back from the dead. And then you say, okay, so what is the gospel? Well, I need to do better. I remember years ago, I was working for a company, and me and my boss at that time, we had to share a hotel room, and I pulled out my Bible one night, and I'm just sitting there reading, not even in conversation, and all of a sudden he tells me, you know, Bob, I need to stop cussing, and I need to, you know, cool it on the drinking a little bit and just become a better person. And it's like, where did that come from? But that's the filter. You know, we make the story of Jesus all about us and what we're supposed to be doing, and we miss Jesus. And that's what you discovered. A lot of people who kind of knew a little bit about Jesus, but they had really missed the essence of who he was and why he came.
Yeah, and I would really challenge people today who are listening to ask themselves that same question. On what basis do I believe God will or will not accept me? So yeah, there's some neat illustrations that are in that talk and some stories of those relationships that happened that people can find that on YouTube. Ted changed the name of the talk to Finding Meaning in Daily Acts of Good. Yeah. So you can Google that, TEDx, Tyler Ellis, or find it at betylerellis.com.
Yeah, so if they just go to your website, it's right there
on
the front page, and I think that's the best way to do it. And I certainly would encourage our listeners to take a look at that. You will really enjoy this conversation. Well, Tyler, so you met with these 50, you drew their pictures, you asked them these 20 questions, and then, you know, many of them said that's the best conversation I've ever had, and they wanted to meet with you again. So what were some of those follow-up conversations like?
Yeah, you know, I was so surprised that 50% of those people that I met with said, I'd like to meet again. And that's quite a ratio there.
Yes, really.
And so we met again. And some of those, it was just, you know, I met them once, and others, I met with them on a weekly basis for 2 years because they were students who were going to be around. And so, as you can imagine, those friendships really deepened, and not just with theological conversations, but again, some of the stories I share in the talk of adventures that we went on together. One girl in particular called me at 3 a.m., who was contemplating suicide. And she's alive and well today. She's married and she's a mother. And, you know, that was from those relationships. So, but it really drove us for some of those conversations and those friendships that lasted so long. It drove us to apologetics because I had been asking them questions, and then some of them wanted to interview me and hear my take. But then I asked them, what questions do you have? And a lot of them would say things like, yeah, that was the best conversation we had, you know, that first coffee talk. Because they were articulating their beliefs, many, for the first time ever. Hearing themselves say, I don't know. Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't know. I should look into that, shouldn't I? That's pretty important.
Yes, you should. Yes.
Yeah.
Dig deeper.
So it was a blessing for me. You know, any time as a Christian you're asked a question you've never been asked before, that's an opportunity for you as well to dig deeper and solidify your faith and make new discoveries. But it was a great experience. You know, 25% of the total amount of people that I interviewed actually came to Christ.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's how you engage the culture. Mm-hmm. You have conversation with people. You hear what's in their minds. You hear what's on their hearts. They have questions. And so you can just go back and forth. And when you do that, when people start to share their hearts, share their souls, you see places where the gospel can connect. And it becomes a very natural conversation. And it's like, hey, God's just all over this thing. I don't have to try to force anything. It's just happening. So that's how we engage the culture. One of the things that you did, I thought this was a really good illustration. You did the mountain illustration. Mm-hmm. You know, God and all ways lead to God, and that's kind of a common belief today that there are many paths to God, where Jesus said he is the only way, the way, the truth, and the life. And you broke that down, and you showed how all these different paths actually lead to different mountain peaks.
Yeah.
So how did people respond to that? Did that click with folks to help them see that Jesus Christ really is the only way? And could you explain a little bit of that for
us? Yeah. You know, that is a very common theory, like you said, out there, that people see the similarities among religions. You know, I mean, you compare Christianity with Buddhism, Hinduism, Mormonism, Islam. There are a lot of similarities. So from an outsider, you look at that and you think, well, they all say the Ten Commandments, basically, right?
Yeah.
Don't do
some
this.
Some form of it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so they think, well, if this one says don't kill innocent people and don't cheat on your spouse, you know, and that one says the same thing, well, you know, if we try to do that the best we can, then we're all end up at the same place. And so we have that picture of a mountain with many paths at the base, all leading to the top. So I think it's important to first acknowledge the fact that there are similarities and celebrate those similarities. Celebrate that, you know, where did our sense of morality even come from in the first place?
Right.
Where did our conscience come from? But then, despite those similarities, you know, those agreements where there's a moral law, and if we live in line with it, it leads to peace. And the agreement that, hey, none of us live perfectly in line with it, that leads to chaos. There's also two significant differences. You mentioned one, Bob, is that they actually lead to different mountaintops. You know, Buddhism, actually, when you follow that path, there's no God at
no
the
God
top
whatsoever.
Of that path.
Yeah, just spirituality.
Yeah, you follow the path of Hinduism at the top of that mountain. There's many, many, many gods. And you follow the New Age path and this idea that everything is God. And so then you have the monotheistic religions, but even those are different in getting to that God. Is it through Moses and the Torah? Is it through Muhammad? Or is it through Jesus? And so that alone kind of debunks the theory that all paths lead to the same mountaintop.
Right.
Is because they don't.
They don't at all.
But then the second difference is that each of these worldviews and philosophies is presenting a way, what can be done about the fact that we are falling short, that our life is in chaos. How do we experience peace again? How do we obtain that peace? So again, the outsider is going to see the similarities because these religions are saying, well, do this and don't do that. And they may have a different formula.
Right.
A different set of particulars, you know, should you be baptized in this temple and for your dead ancestors
right.
while you're at it, or should you go to Mecca, or should you say, you know, 100 prayers? Or Christianity is saying, no, we don't obtain peace on our merits.
But on the merits of Christ.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. And
yeah.
he was that sinless person. The second illustration in there was called the cockroach illustration, that just showed how, you know, if you kill a cockroach, the penalty is small. You're not going to be fined. You're not
right.
going to go to jail.
People are going to celebrate.
There's no consequence.
Yeah.
But if you were to offend or kill a person, the penalty increases according to the value of that one offended. And so if we offend an infinitely valuable God, we can't pay that back. So we can only be in relationship with him by trusting Jesus, who was equal to his
yeah.
Father.
That's where this word grace comes into,
that's right.
into
yeah.
play. And Tyler, your mantra on your website is, you see to it that no one misses out on the grace of God. And that's what distinguishes Christianity from every other religion, every other philosophy. And praise God that God decided to lavish us with his grace in
absolutely.
The person of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you
we
so
greatly
much.
Enjoyed having yeah. you with us.
And for our listeners, if you'd like to visit Tyler's website, it is btylerellis.com. We hope you'll take advantage of getting to know Tyler as well. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to our new friend Tyler Ellis for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us for the concluding session of The Great I Am tomorrow on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.